All right, thank you for a little video there. How's everybody doing this New Year's?
Good.
All right, yeah, got a response there. And thank you, Tony, for that outrageous response. It's always good to start the new year with new goals, and they call it New Year's resolutions. And I made a couple myself. One is to learn the guitar back again. I played, goofed around with it 30 years ago. And touch bass about 20 years ago, but I bought a new guitar and I'm learning it. So my goal this year is sometime this year is to be able to join the praise band occasionally as they do Sunday services. I have all their music from what they've done so far, and so I've had fun playing around. I do a little more rhythm and blues, though. I've enjoyed that too. So that's one of my goals there. And so now what I'm doing, I'm writing for the paper, which I did years ago. And so my first article came out in Info Press as a contributing writer, so get the Info Press. But I enjoy writing, and I think I'm going to get a press credential for the Capitol so I can walk around anywhere I want to. But speaking of that, I always think it's a great idea to start the year by saying my problem, my concern, everything I put in God's hands. Everything we're going through here in the church is in God's hands, and that's a wise way of approaching it. So we're starting this new series called Old Beginning, New Beginnings, and the concept came, our young people are very wise, and we listened to them about the prophecy lesson we did last year, and today we start the Genesis. But instead of doing more of a teaching series and technical stuff and theology points, I wanted to make sure we start the year by giving some fruit and giving some information when it deals with the idea of practical lessons we can learn from the characters. We're going to talk about the creation story today a little bit, and then we're going to talk about Adam and Eve next week, and the title of that one simply is When We Blow It. And you got to admit it, that was probably the biggest blunder in the world, the big original sin. We're going to talk about Noah, when God gives you a difficult plan, a plan that does not make sense. We're going to go through and talk about Jacob and Esau relationship tensions. We're going to talk about Cain and Abel, the destructive nature of jealousy, which is really the first sin recorded in scriptures after the fall of man. It was jealousy. It was that relationship stuff. We're going to get to the story of Joseph, and we're going to talk about when God's plans take time. And so those are some of the themes there, and I hope you enjoy it. I hope you learn some lessons of theology, but I also, more importantly, learn some practical things to start the new year. But it all starts with creation. Let me give you some opening statements about the whole series, Old Beginning, New Beginnings. First of all, learning how God worked in the lives of people in the past gives us insight on how God works today, because God has not changed. And I want to emphasize that. We sometimes look at biblical characters in a reference point more than they truly were. Outside of Jesus Christ, everybody who is recorded in Scripture was a mortal person. They were human. They were frail. They had problems. Every character in the Bible that led in some way had sins that were recorded. I mean, you think about it, the only sinless person that ever lived was Jesus Christ. And sometimes when we start reading about Old Testament, you know, characters, we begin to think, well, they were Saint so-and-so, and they were such a giant, and they were human. They had doubts. They had fears. And learning how God worked in the human existence at that time gives us great insight how God works today, because God hasn't changed. And sometimes we think, you know, that was a different time and God worked differently with them. For the most part, everything is still the same. Secondly, the common denominator between biblical characters, and us is how we listen, follow, and make choices. In fact, in all of the stories we're going to share over the next few weeks, you're going to see the fact that their successes and failures were mainly because of the choices they made, decision-making. And as we go into the new year, decision-making is a key for success. Decisions like it was mentioned here about giving my problems to the Lord this year is a great decision. Those decisions, those choices are an avenue for great success. And that's what we have as a common denominator with biblical characters, is how we listen, how we follow, and make choices. And third of all, success or failure was determined then, as it is now, by one key word, and that is obedience. When biblical characters, men and women of the Bible, were obedient to God's directives, commands, or principles, they succeeded. And I say this for this reason, is there's a lot of people that find themselves in jams and in situations because they just did not follow biblical principles, commands, or whatever. I'll share one with you that's something I talk about quite a bit because I think it's important, especially with young families, to understand this, and even teenagers growing up. God has a perfect system for financial success that goes beyond the wisdom of man. This morning, my wife and I, as we watched the news, they had a financial person on there talking about what you need to do to prepare for retirement. You know, when you're in the 30s, start, you know, having a program, and then when you're in the 40s, you know, start investing more. When you're in the 50s, begin to do certain things. And when you're in your 60s, prepare for retirement because it's coming, so start getting your debts down. And that's, I told Don, we're pretty smart because that's exactly what we've been doing. So there's all these plans out there. If you believe in a supernatural God that can heal the sick, give sight to the blind, do all these miraculous things, create this world, give you salvation through Jesus Christ, then you sure can trust him for the principle when it comes to your finances. And I truly believe what I have dealt with people, even children of mine, that struggled financially. And usually the first question I asked them, which is, I don't do this to point fingers or whatever to them or whatever. I said, are you being faithful to God with what he said to do? Because God said, if you are faithful to me in giving, then I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. The Bible gives a covenant. It's a covenant. Your salvation is a covenant. When you got saved, you were sealed. A covenant is a fact. It's not just a blessing. It's an agreement between you and God. And when Dawn and I give, we know our financial situation will be fine because we know God's principles work. And by being obedient and giving, we don't worry about our finances. In fact, we have seen our finances grow over the years simply because we know we give. And so I say that, you know, not to encourage more giving, although it should, but the idea is if you're struggling financially and you say, I wish I had enough money to be able to contribute to church or whatever, the scriptures say if you start doing something, God will begin to build that agreement with you. The Bible talks about a tithe. If you look in the New Testament, the word tithe is not used. But when you give with a heart of a planned giving, God says, I honor that agreement to you. Now you will be blessed and you will be taken care of. In that. And so success or failure is determined then and now by a key word, obedience. And if you want success in anything you're doing, it means obedience. Going for the program that we're doing now, hopefully to attain something this year, it's about obedience. One thing that happened last week with the commitments we had, and more may come in today, was we gave the scriptures about step in the water first, the Jordan, and once you step in a step of faith, I will begin to fulfill your dreams. The idea is that's obedience. And when we did that last week, and when you committed and I committed, it was a step of obedience that we're asking God to bless us because we're obedient to him. So those are the three opening things. So let's talk today about a God who creates. And the first thing I want to do is read through the first chapter of the book of Genesis and a couple of verses in the second chapter. And they will be on your screen, or you can have a Bible or a Bible app or an iPad as I have. And read along. I'll make some comments in here and then give you some reasons we were created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was all over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning. The first day. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate the waters from water. So God made the vault and separated the waters under the vault from the waters above it. And it was so. So God called the vault sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the waters under the sky be gathered into one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. And God called the dry ground land. And the gathered waters, he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, trees, trees on the land that bear fruit with the seed in it, according to the various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed and according to their kinds. And the God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the vaults of the sky to separate the day from night, and let them serve as a sign to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to govern day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars, and God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was an evening and there was a morning the fourth day. And God said, let the waters teem with the living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living thing that was which is in the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds. And every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the waters of the seas and let the birds increase of the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kind, the livestock and the creatures that move along the ground and the wild animals, let each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that moved along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make mankind in our image. And by the way, I want you to focus on that word "our" as plural, because the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit were in existence at that time. Saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds and the sky, over the livestock and all the animals and over all the creatures that moved along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. And in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed him and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the skies and over every living creature that moves on this ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be your food. And obviously the creation started as vegetarians. And to the beast of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that moved along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw that he had made, God saw all that he had made, and it was a very good, good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all the vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished his work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all his works, creating that he had done. Wonderful story of creation. In chapter 2, there gets to be more detail about the creation of Adam and Eve. Obviously, Adam being created and then being given a deep sleep and then taking the rib out of Adam to create Eve and stuff. And forgive me if I drink a lot of water here. Apparently, the blood pressure things affect. That's one of my New Year's resolutions, get my blood pressure down. But the medication put me on makes you very dry mouth. So, interested in this passage here, there's some things that are incredibly interesting. And it's interesting because it gives us the purpose of the original creation. God created the heavens and the earth. He created the whole system for ecology. At that time, there was no rain. There was no weather systems. It was a canopy of perfect environment, the perfect ozone, if you would say. The reason why people lived up to 900 years is because of the perfect environment, even after the fall of mankind by Adam and Eve's sin. It was a perfect environment. They created the animals, he created all these things there, and then he created mankind, and man and woman, and he gave them a purpose. And let me share the purpose that they were given. We were created to do certain things. The first one is to bring joy to God. It's interesting that all the creation He continues, refers to the fact that he created all these things and he saw that it was good. He was very pleased with what he was doing. And the purpose of creation was to bring joy to God. God was creating the universe. God was creating the systems. God was creating the sun and the moon. And they all had their purpose. One, the sun and the moon were there to give light in the day and light at the nighttime. And it was interesting that all this was beginning to give him fulfillment. He got to the place where he still felt empty. And that's where mankind came in. And that's the next passage. To fulfill God's desire for relationship. I believe that God created mankind, man and woman, because he wanted relationship. He had the angels, obviously, that were already in existence, but he wanted a relationship. He wanted a creation. But it's interesting, as we're going to talk about next week, he didn't create this creation of mankind with the ability to be robots. It says we were created in his image, and it has to do with the fact of his likeness and as his desires and motives and motivations. But we are created with the free will. And as we know, in fact, in chapter 2 here, go on to say, as we're going to cover next week, that you can eat of all the fruit and all the things in the world, on the earth, it says in chapter 1. But you're going to get in chapter 2 where he says, but there's one tree that you should not eat of. And that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what happens when you eat that, you will become awareness of the frailties that you have. And at that time, you will begin to die. In fact, at that time, after the fall of man, and we're talking about next week, there was a total begin to be where the deterioration of the whole world's system he created began to deteriorate and die. The moon, for instance, was created to give light at nighttime. But now as we see meteors and stuff that come or whatever, which are breakaways of an imperfect system that has become imperfect because it has dissolved, one of the purposes of the moon is to keep those meteors from hitting us. Their gravitational pull makes sure they don't hit us. And so there is a purpose in everything. But God wanted to fulfill his relationship. He wanted to have that. In fact, if you look later in the scriptures, he walked in the garden. He wanted fellowship. There's a need for that. We all have a need for fellowship, a relationship. And that comes from being created in God's image. And third of all, it was to manage and protect God's other creations. God created the fish, the birds, the animals, all these things. And then God created mankind, man and woman, to, and the Bible says in the King James, to rule over these things. In the Hebrew language, it really has to do more with the fact of to protect and manage. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. You know, one of the things about the fall of man, when we talk about next week, is we become more controlling and more insecure through our lives and take that ruling too far. And I want to share a thought with you right now, just to give you an idea. Our role was to don't put that one up, please. Our role at that time was to manage all the other creations and to rule over all the other creations. And I want to say this very emphatically, but nowhere will you find that in all reality was man given the responsibility to be a dominant ruler over women. Scriptures in the New Testament talk about the fact of being, a man should be the head of his home. It's a whole theological discussion about relationship man and woman, husband and wife, was designed to be a partnership of working together, obeying and submitting to one another. And in the creation story, you find that God gave man and woman, Adam and Eve, the instructions to rule and manage and protect everything else. But God was never give the man the same instructions to have dominance over the woman. And that's an interesting thing, because basically sometimes we find many times in our own relationships break down, whether it's work relationships, whether it's sibling relationships, husband and wife, whatever it may be, usually fall apart because one begins to be a dominant role over the other without considering the needs and the emotions of the other. And I will say this, if we take this literally, and some say, well, I believe we are to lead our homes. It says here in the scriptures, not the word rule as domination or control. The word in the Hebrew is to manage and protect. And if you really want to be the guardian of your home, it means you are to manage, but it means most of all you're to protect. And those are some of the lessons that we get from there. You know, so we were created for these purposes, to fellowship with God and to manage his creations. And next week we're going to talk about when we blow it, the fall of man, and that will make more sense with this one next week. But I want you to get this. The main reason I believe that we were created because God desired relationship. And how do I know that? Because of what he did after the fall of man to restore that relationship. He gave his only son to build an availability and a bridge to be able to rebuild the relationship that was lost in the Garden of Eden, which we will talk about next week. Put up the next slide there, and this is a statement I want to transition from. Our created purpose was interrupted when the fall of man, with the fall of man by Adam and Eve. But God, in his grace, created a path to renewed purpose. In fact, in all of the scriptures, Old Testament, it all comes down to a culmination of what happened at the cross of Jesus Christ. Being able to bring us back, and actually, I could have titled this, "A God Creates and a God Who Recreates." And so the fall of man built this barrier. The fall of man ruined the relationship. The fall of man created a barrier and a distance between us and God. Where God said, when he said, "All these things I created are good," which in the Hebrew word could actually mean it's fulfilling to me. The fall of man took that fulfilling part out of it. In any relationship, when one fails another, there becomes that fulfilling part of it becomes null and void. And it takes time to get that fulfillment back to where it was before. But God in his grace had a great plan to be able to take us and to give us a recreation and a definement of that purpose. And that's what we're going to find in the scriptures next. We're going to look in Ephesians chapter number 2. We're going to find in Ephesians chapter number 2 and 1 through 10 about the recreation that you and I have. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you're a follower of Christ, you have been recreated to the position that was meant from the garden. Now, you're not perfect yet. You're not sinless yet. But you have been restored, not because of what you did, but because Jesus Christ has done. But you've gone from a creation purpose lost to a creation purpose renewed. Look what it says here. "As for you, we are dead in your trespasses. You were dead in your trespasses of sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." Get that? "Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." Because of what happened in the Garden of Eden, by that natural effect of that, sin came in and we were deserving of wrath. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised up us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order that the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." Now listen to the last three verses here. "For by grace you have been saved." Let's stop right there. The word "saved" freaks some people out. We use it as a Christian vernacular. We say, you know, you don't need to get saved. And that's a good word. We use sometimes other words like you need to, you know, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you need to become a Christian. But "save" is the accurate word. And "save" has to do with simply this. Saved is the opposite of something that was lost. Saved is something that was the contrast to something that's not saved. We were vessels that were empty and lost. But "save" also has a connotation as secure, as something that's positive, something that's permanent there. And so he says that by grace you have been saved through faith, which is our exercise, and this is not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now here's the key thing here. For we are God's handiwork. The word also can be interpreted God's creation. Created in Christ Jesus, and here's the purpose, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. When the fall of mankind came, there was an emptiness there. And God made a provision through Jesus Christ to give us that recreation and that creation purpose back. And he says, not of ourselves, not because of any good we have done, not because of anything, but by faith. Now, I open this up by saying the key component of this is obedience. God made a provision to save mankind, to bring them back into the creative point of view, not perfection. We get our perfected bodies in heaven one day. But he did that so that he could save us. And he initiated everything so that we would have that purpose of recreation once again. And he says here that you are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And you think about the good works, it goes back to his desires for us to manage and to love and to care and all these things there. But we are created, as the worlds are created, for the purpose of doing the right and good things that God has planned for us. Another verse in Ephesians chapter number 4. So I tell you this, and insist on it that in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardenings of their heart. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you've learned. Listen to this. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former life to put off the old, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made anew in attitudes of your mind, and to put on the new self, here it is, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So he's telling us that through Jesus Christ, we are to put off all the other baggage. It was mentioned here, given our problems over to God this year. And once again, our creation, and the reason why we were created originally was to fellowship with God and to be united with God. The reason why we were created was to rule and manage and protect the system that he created. And that was broken up. After the fall of man, we find that they use the fig leaves to cover themselves. They begin to eat meat and killing animals for that purpose. We found that the hereditary part of sin trickled down to Cain and Abel, where Cain had killed his brother Abel. And we find all this happening until you get to Genesis chapter 6, where it's the great flood of Noah's Ark. And we're going to talk about that in a couple weeks. And a true story, we're going to try to explain some things that even scientists have found certain things in our soils and stuff because of that. But the idea is that it was all deceitful. It was all the ways of evilness. But in the New Testament, Paul writes this, that you that are in Christ are now gone back to the creative purpose. You still are not perfect, but now you are created in righteousness and to be like God in holiness. That's not perfection. What it is finally comes back to the fact that we are now back fulfilling the relationship part with God because of what Jesus Christ did. And I can say just in that point there, we were created because God desired fellowship. And that fellowship was broken, but when we accepted Christ, that fellowship between us and God has been restored. And God doesn't hold our sins, past, present, or future, against us. He's not pleased when we disobey. He's not pleased when we do the wrong things. He's not pleased. But all those have been restored in our position with God because of what Jesus Christ did. And I want you to think about that. God took his only son and prepared him to be a sacrifice for you and I to restore creation's purpose. And if that's not love, I don't know what is. We were purposed and created to fellowship, to work with God, to carry out his mandate, to do good works, and to walk in righteousness and holiness with him. We were created in his image. We were restored to his image when we accepted Christ. Doesn't mean we're perfect. It just means, you know, that old bumper sticker, I'm not perfect, I'm just forgiven. It's a very good theological point. And the next time you get down on yourself and you have a frustration because you know you failed God and you failed or whatever, remind yourselves this. God looked at Adam and Eve as two people who basically ignored and disobeyed. And he still made provisions for them and all of us to be restored. Because God desires his creation to be fulfilling to him. Let me give you the walk away here. God created purpose for us. God's created purpose for us is found in those who pursue him. To me, is when you study the characters that we're going to look at the next 7 weeks, you will find that keyword obedience. But each character was pursuing him. The story of Joseph, which is the longest written story in Genesis, is a wonderful story of an individual who kept getting slapped down, disappointed, aggravated, falsely accused, didn't know what was going to happen, but he continued to pursue God for his created purpose. And I think we can all learn from this is that creation is a wonderful thing. God created this earth. God created the heavens. God created the stars. God created the water. God created all these things. They were in a perfect state. When people start talking about the climate situation, and sometimes people debate on one side or the other, I will tell you, this is something you need to hear. The ozone and deteriorating climate is a biblical fact. And the reason for it, yes, man has taken advantage of the global climate and all that we put into the environment has changed a lot of things. And I'm not really, you know, one side or the other, but I do know this. The world has been in decay since the fall of man. And by nature, the environment and the reason why people die younger is because of diseases and stuff that are come because we are sinful creatures. We were created without sin. We were created, Adam and Eve were created without sin. They were created without blemish. They were created without any health problems. They were expected to live forever. But because of the fall of man, all this began to deteriorate. And the onset of more and more diseases. You ever notice every decade there's a new major disease that has come up that wasn't once before found. That's all part of the decaying of mankind. But God has made a pathway to the recreation of us. And think about this. The whole story in the Bible ends with what? A new heaven and a new earth for the newly created people that are saved to live forever and ever. It started in the Garden of Eden of paradise. It ends in the new heaven and earth in paradise. God, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, he didn't just, you know, turn his back, call it a mistake, kill them off, didn't do anything immediately. He basically gave them a choice to choose in the garden. They chose wrongly. But from that day on, he made a purpose to bring it all together so he can get that final desire he had in the beginning to have a created heaven and earth and people that are chosen to be part of that. And that's where the true fellowship will happen. The true fellowship will happen. We were created for a purpose. Just kind of an opening on this lesson. Like I said, this was not going to be a technical or theological series. I wanted to bring the purpose. And as you start a new year, I want you to grasp this. Everything before you, and if you're here today and you're not saved, you don't know Lord Jesus Christ, please talk to one of us about it because that's vitally important. Not only for your spiritual state of going to heaven, but also to understand and be able to be part of the program that God has enlisted you to be part of. But as you go into the new year and you are saved, and sometimes you feel wretched, sometimes you sin, and sometimes you blow it, and you think to yourself, God must be done with me. God recreated you, and he has an ultimate plan that you will fellowship with him personally when it's all done. Live like it. Live like a winner already. Live like a victor already. Because God has made a provision, and he did a tremendous amount of work in the grace he gave and the sacrifice he gave just so he could be, as I talked about a couple weeks ago, your friend. That's incredible. You're created for a purpose to do good works. God loves you, and God loves me, and God loves this world. He will not see anybody ever, ever be cast anywhere but inner heaven. And he made that provision for recreation. Now, that's the way we ought to start the year. She mentioned about taking her problems and turn them over to God for the year. That's probably one of the best statements. I mean, the whole adoption thing is pretty cool, too. Guitar playing is kind of nice, too. But I got to tell you, that's a great attitude because you were created for more. And as a Christian, you have an advocate. You have somebody there who is by your side with all your problems. What we try to do, we try to handle everything ourselves. And God says, turn them over to me. So I want to encourage you, live like the recreated person you are and take on the year 2019. Would you bow your heads for a word of prayer? And next week we're going to talk about the subject, when we blow it. And we're going to get into the details about the fall. I'm going to talk to you about the two trees. And I'm going to talk to you about why they were cast out of the garden. That was actually to preserve mankind. I'll explain that. We're going to talk about where the Garden of Eden would be located today, where it is. We're going to talk about, in a couple of weeks, Cain and Abel, jealousy. And I want you to know, we're going to try to give you some biblical insight. But it's more important as we start the new year is to have some practical stuff to take on the year. You are created by God in His image to bring fulfillment. Live like it. Take on the year, and I believe that God will give you your dreams. Father, we thank you so much for this time together. I ask, Lord, that you would just bless the close of the service. We thank you for each person here. And God, I pray, Lord, that these lessons would be very helpful to each of the listeners. God, they were helpful to me as I begin to put them together and read the stories again and read some thoughts and learn the language. Understand that when it talks about he saw all things and they were good, it really meant that he was fulfilled by it. When it talks about being created in his image, it had to do with desires and that. God, just understanding some of this, Lord, gives me more understanding of how you relate to us, God. You loved us enough to make sure there was a pathway back to that position that Adam and Eve had. And one day, Lord, all those here that have their faith in Christ, the saved people, they're going to have that new heaven, a new earth. And what it was like in the garden will be what it's like at that time, too. What a wonderful thing to look forward to. We ask you, bless this year. Watch over each person here that talked about the desire. We pray for the ones that are trying to adopt. We pray for Danielle, who's given her problems to the Lord. We pray, Lord, for our finances as a church, Lord. Some have a strong desire, Lord, to help us, you know, get our dreams for this year, Lord. And God, we just pray for those commitments, those resolutions, Lord. Help us all to be used for your glory. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.